5 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the show. It is the whole show powered by PDC Energy. It's Wednesday. We got the block party on tonight, starting with Preps Midweek. All things you need to know about the Northern Colorado prep scene with Clark Johnson. We'll get the nerd show rocking and rolling. So you want to know what we talk about tonight, Colfax? We are going to interview a personal trainer from a gym locally, and he's going to tell us how to get ripped like a superhero, like the actors that get chiseled. So, pretty much, I'm like 80% of the way there already, Colfax, so, you know, I need this guy to come in and help me get 20%. It's fine. Get that workout rolling. And then Brew Talk tonight. Have a beer with the Brew Talk guys. Might be fun to do that. And Nick Snacks, followed by Fat Guys at the Movies. First Advantage, text line 31-996-31996. Sir Charles says, you're crazy. Wilson's way more of an MVP right now than Mahomes. Where would Seattle be without Wilson, and where would Kansas City be without Mahomes? I mean, it's a legitimate question. Where would Seattle be without Wilson? Kansas City without Mahomes, with Chad Henne as their starting quarterback, would be a very pedestrian team. Don't forget, Kansas City's defense is average. An average defense that the Broncos ran all over, or at least in the first half with Phillip Lindsay. Yeah, Kansas City has weapons. It's like I've talked about, though, with Drew Locke even, and I know it's hard to compare the two, but sometimes too many weapons can be a challenge in and of itself, and you see Patrick Mahomes utilizing those weapons to the best of their ability. So it's tight. Listen, I'm not going to sit here and argue with you, but it's a very tight race at this point. Tight race. I feel like that's what we're talking about with the election. Patrick Mahomes, look at some of these numbers with Mahomes. Listen, and we'll give Russell Wilson his due. I love Russell Wilson. I'm rooting for him to win it. But that touchdown to interception ratio, guys, that's a legitimate stat. He has 21 touchdown passes to just one interception. He's the first player in NFL history to have 20 touchdown passes and one interception or fewer through the first 8 games. That's why it's so rare when you look at that number, you go, oh, one pick? To 21 touchdowns? That's insane. He ranks second in the league in passing yards, passing touchdowns, and passer rating. He's the only player to rank in the top 3 of each category. So, I mean, it's tight. Wilson, you know, he had that overtime loss to the Cardinals. That put him back a bit. But then he came out of it last week against the 49ers. He threw 4 touchdowns. And obviously, that jumped him up to 26. They both went crazy last week. I feel like I'm doing an election coverage. Patrick Mahomes had the 5 touchdowns. Russell Wilson had the 4. So Mahomes didn't really pull away at all. In fact, Wilson took his opportunity to really pull away from Mahomes with the touchdowns because of throwing 4. He's thrown at least 3 touchdowns in all but 1 game this season. He's thrown at least 4 in 4 games. It's crazy. See, he's breaking records, too. He's at least jumping in the record book. He joined Dan Marino and Peyton Manning as the only quarterbacks in NFL history to throw 215 touchdown passes in their first 9 seasons, and is still on pace to threaten Peyton Manning's record for most touchdown passes in a season. Yeah, it's a tight race. I mean, you won't be necessarily wrong to go either way. Sir Charles says, but Seattle's one of the worst defenses in the league. True. I mean, they're not, as I've talked about before, they're not atrocious in stopping the run if you watch them play. Yeah, they give up way too many passing yards. And they're not addressing that situation. They're not getting any better. So I guess it really is, how do you evaluate the MVP? Because the MVP is not always the most valuable player to the team. It's the best player. It's the guy that fills up the stat sheet, but he's also the best player. Yeah, Russell Wilson is more valuable to Seattle than perhaps Patrick Mahomes is to the Chiefs, but that's, you and I both know, that's not how we conduct this award. That's not how we put that award out there. It is the best player. Stats, whatever. Because you're going to go, you're not saying who's the most, I know it's supposed to be most valuable player to the team, but that's not how this award goes. Yeah, if you remove Russell Wilson from Seattle, they're probably under 500. You remove Patrick Mahomes from Kansas City, I got to be real honest with you. I still don't know. I don't know that Chad Henne can do any of that stuff. He can't keep that team alive. No, their defense isn't that good. I mean, I like their rushing attack. I like their run game. But, yeah, I think if you're going to go most valuable to their team, you can say Russell Wilson. But if we're talking about most valuable player, the best player, that is what this award is. And the best player of the two, Patrick Mahomes, is better than Russell Wilson right now. I mean, at the end of the day, I want to see how this unfolds, but it's really hard. If Patrick Mahomes can keep this pace of throwing like one interception, if he throws two interceptions, like I think that is such a, I don't know if it's underappreciated, that underappreciated stat. In a day and age where we throw the ball all the time, most offenses throw the ball well more than 50%, 60% of the time, to not throw an interception, it's crazy. That's amazing. And if you can to only throw one after eight games, that stat should be elevated big time. First Advantage text line 31996, 31996. Dixon says, wait. I thought Seattle was the best team in the league. Could be. They're one of the best right now. Their offense is damn good. They are what? Third in passing and third in rushing. They're top five. What have I always said? If you want to win the Super Bowl, I don't need you to be the best team in the NFL at everything. I need you to be a top five in a few categories. In the big cat, the categories that matter the most. Offensive passing yards or offensive rushing yards or defensive, you know, your defense against the run, defense against the pass. Well, Seattle's top three in total yards, top three in passing. They're not top five in rushing. Excuse me. I misspoke there. I meant top five in passing and top five in total yards. I think they're like top 10, maybe top 12 in rushing overall. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. They have work to do on defense. They're not a great defense. But you know what? The Broncos, when they were the best team in the NFL because they won the Super Bowl, they were a terrible offense. So yes, I still think Seattle, you could still argue that they're one of the best teams, if not the best team in the NFL. First Advantage text line 31996. And, I mean, they are a top seven team against the run. So they have a category there that they are decent in. I know. You're seeing offenses open up and they just say we're gonna air it out against this team. Well, you still gotta be a little bit better at something, and they're not the worst team in the NFL, far from it, against the run. So it's a tough one. Sir Charles says Mahomes is on. Oh, so put Mahomes on Seattle and Wilson on Kansas City. That's interesting. I don't know if Wilson could handle all of the, and maybe he could. Maybe I'm putting him down here, but I still feel like one of Patrick Mahomes' strengths. I feel like he's like Spider-Man. He's got everything coming at him. He's got all these different offenses. He's got all these options. He has to be able to hit here, look over there. So many different progressions. And I know Russell can do that. But I feel like Mahomes just fits better with an offense that has a lot going on. Wilson seems to be the guy, you know, rely on me. It's all me. I got to make something happen. I can throw it. I can air it out. So can Mahomes. But I feel like of the two, just watching them, Mahomes just fits this offense. So if you were to place it, you put Mahomes on with Seattle. I've seen Mahomes make plays on bad situations before. So I love Mahomes, man. I think he's Russell Wilson's the guy I would vote for if it was a popularity contest. But I love watching Mahomes play. To me, he passes the eye test. He's the better quarterback. He's the best quarterback in the NFL. Sir Charles says, "Don't get me wrong, Mahomes is awesome, but," and you and me seem to disagree. Yes. First Advantage text line 31996, 31996. Dixon says, so Mahomes is doing more with less, LOL? No, offensively, no. You got a great offense, but I've talked about this before. Sometimes when you have so many different weapons, it can be a stress, it can be a challenge just to make sure you're getting everybody involved, you're fulfilling the game plan. You know, some of the greatest combos are flat out because that's all I got. I'm going to this guy every time. You know, I remember back when Brandon Marshall, wide receiver version Brandon Marshall, played for Denver. He was like, those were weird years for the Broncos, but they were going to him And everybody knew it, like 80% of the time. And that's an easy offense for a quarterback to go. That's it. I'm throwing it up to Brandon Marshall. My numbers are going to look great because he's going to go up and catch it, and his yak's going to be amazing. My numbers are going to look awesome. Sometimes that's easy. When you have so many weapons and a tough offense to figure out, like Andy Reid seems to have, that spells it too. Defensively, so no, I'm not saying that Mahomes is doing more with less. Russell Wilson's doing more with less. But does he pass your eye test? Who's better? You watch them play. You guys watch these quarterbacks play every single week. Who are you picking? If you could pick right now today on the Broncos offense, and you want a quarterback, you could pick between those two. Who are you taking? I'm going. Age isn't. Let's just pretend here. Let's play the hypothetical game. Age isn't a factor. I'm taking Patrick Mahomes over Russell Wilson. First Advantage text line 31996. 16 minutes after the hour. I want to shout out to Windsor Mill Tavern. Love hanging out over there. This place is, I love the setting. It's so relaxing. Great environment. Handcrafted cocktails. They have an all-encompassing beer list. Wonderful selection of whiskeys and tequilas. Premium wine list over at Windsor Mill Tavern. And you got to check out the Great Range Bison Tenderloin. Wild game meatloaf. Game sausages. Not to mention the best burger around, made from grass-fed Highland beef, sourced locally from Windsor. So when you support Windsor Mill Tavern, you support another sort of local source in Highland beef. Plus, you're supporting this station because these businesses support 1310 KFK. So you listen to the show every day. You hear the sponsors. Do me a favor. Give them a call. Support them. Those are the ones. They keep us on the air. They keep us going. That's the Windsor Mill Tavern. 17 minutes after the hour. When we come back, I'll reload my poll question of the day. Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. It's available at theholeshow.com. Go ahead and vote, and we'll see. I mean, I love the idea of expanding the college football playoffs to everybody that wins their conference gets at least a spot. Let's get into it next.
It's a party. Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m. Dan Patrick, The Hull Show, and Colin Cowherd are on Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hey, Nugget fans, this is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour. This is the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Again, we're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. If you want to get at the program, text the First Advantage text line 31996. 31996. Text KFKA to that number if you're getting involved for the first time. Also announced earlier in the show, the UNC Bears announced their spring football schedule coming up. Now, the Bears wrapped up practice, whatever that fall camp was, last week, and they'll be done until January, I suppose. So it's interesting. You know, I don't know a lot about this program, so I'm going to talk to Coach Ed McCaffrey today, this afternoon, actually, and then we'll play that back for you tomorrow. So I'm looking forward to that conversation. We have not had a chance to get him on this program yet, so it's going to be a really fun chat. Sir Charles says, you might be full of craziness lately, but the idea of every conference getting a playoff bid is a good one. Thank you. I appreciate that. Not a lot of people like this idea because, Brady, there's going to be blowouts. Yeah, because that's not a thing in college football. We already see it. You already see Alabama get cupcakes. How about no more cupcakes? And if you're good, your first round of the playoffs is a cupcake. I'd rather it mean something. Now, the idea is, again, you got your 14 playoff. It's great. It's better than not. But you need to expand the playoffs. We got to get to that point. And whether that's 8, okay, great. I'm happier there. But ultimately, I think it would be great for college football. It'd be great for the fan base. You know, why does the NFL want more playoff teams? Why does the NBA want more playoff teams? Why did they give Zion a chance to get into the playoffs? Why? Ratings. Money. More fan bases. Because when you're typically in the NBA, even college football, a lot of sports, when your team is bounced, you're not as excited to watch, especially at the pro level. College basketball, March Madness, you don't really care locally. It's so much madness that it's just constant basketball. So people really love that. But most sports, if your team, in most fan bases, if your team doesn't make it, you're not as attentive to that sport as if your team would have been making it into the playoffs. I guarantee you. Nuggets fans were glued to the TV watching the playoffs, and once they were bounced, you know, looking at what the Lakers were doing, the ratings drifted, I would imagine, even in the state of Colorado. First Advantage text line, 31996, 31996. I think everybody eventually needs to earn a seat at the table. Because what's the point? I mean, you look at all these teams that don't have a realistic shot every year. That you look at these teams in these conferences. You know, Cincinnati in the American Athletic Conference. They don't realistically have the shot that Clemson does at the beginning of every year. And I know they earn that, and they should. But ultimately, I think you could spread out the stars. As far as the 3-star, 4-star guys are more likely. You know, if I'm told by a coach, I talked about this in the first hour, if I'm told by a coach that I'm going to maybe get a shot in 2 to 3 years with Alabama, but I'm getting a shot right now with Fresno State, then I might be more apt to take that. Plus, if I can bust my hump and we can put together a good team in a year, two, three, we'll go win our conference. We're on the national stage. And I'm on the national stage early. So maybe in 2-3 years, I have a better chance to pull a Warren Jackson or a Trey McBride, or those kind of things. First Advantage text line, 31996, 31996. I think it'd be a great idea, you know, to ultimately have all these conferences spread out. And I know you're going to see blowouts in the first round for several years. But like I said earlier, blowouts happen anyway. And you, Brady, they're not going to do that because of the money. The bowl games, it's so much money there. You don't get rid of the bowl games, man. Every bowl game is a playoff game. I would imagine Chick-fil-A and Tostitos and all those sponsors that pay for the bowls, they're going to pay more. Because, all right, let's just say Wyoming's playing, you know, you look at kind of a middle-of-the-road conference school or something along those lines. Let's say it's like Marshall from Conference USA in the first round is going to play Ohio State. Most of us are like, okay, that's going to be a blowout. And that's a bowl game. It's like the Tostitos Bowl. But it's like first round of the playoffs. That's a playoff game now. You add playoffs to anything, and it's way more important. More viewers are going to watch that, even if it's only for a first quarter. Let's say Ohio State whoops up on Marshall's like a decent team this year, so maybe that's a bad example. But still, you got a shot. And so you might start seeing better recruits look at these schools like Colorado State and say, well, you know what? You guys were three wins away from winning the conference last year. You got a good quarterback. I'll sign with you guys, and we'll see if we can win this conference. We can win this championship, get on the main stage where scouts are going to be all over the place. Because, I mean, I go to CSU games, Colfax. I sit in the press box. Sometimes I sit right next to scouts. I always try to talk to them, although this I don't think we're going to get to talk to each other on Thursday. We just sit there and be very, very quiet. But I always try to talk to them. Who are you here to see? And, you know, it's most of the time. Now, like this year for CSU, yeah, you got Trey McBride. Here to see Trey McBride. Manny Jones, probably. Dont'a Wright, if he ever plays again. The COVID situation from last week. You know, they're there to see maybe a player or two. But most of the time, when the Rams are playing a team like even Arkansas. Arkansas has been kind of bad for the last few years, but they came to CSU. Was that 2 years ago? I looked at the guy's scouting report. There was 8 to 12 guys on that list. I'm looking at him. A lot of offensive linemen. Some good defensive linemen there. And I remember asking him. I think he was a scout for the Raiders. And I said, who are you looking at? And he showed me all these names for Arkansas. And I said, anybody CSU? He was talking about the punter. Stonehouse. It's like, yeah, punter probably, and a couple of good guys there defensively. And, you know, that was before Warren Jackson stormed onto the scene. Michael Gallup had just left. So you didn't have a lot to pick from there. So you're not attracting a lot of scouts to a regular CSU-Wyoming game. You're not attracting it, but if CSU's playing Arkansas, okay, I'm attracting scouts. Now there's an opportunity to show my stuff. And if you're doing that in a playoff game, well, hell yeah. You won your conference. You must be good. You're going to attract a lot more scouts. But if it was like the Mountain West championship game, and it's just the top two Mountain West teams, yeah, scouts are going to be there, but not as many. So you win that, you move on to the next level. You go to the playoffs, suddenly scouts are there to see Bama, Ohio State, but hey, there's this Dante Wright. Pretty damn good. I think it's one of those things that balances out college football. You know, you're still going to have Alabama just run the show, but it makes it more interesting to know that, hey, if Alabama doesn't show up today, if Clemson doesn't show up today, a key injury affects them or something, then maybe this Cinderella story can exist in the football world. You're not going to capture quite what March Madness is and with basketball and everything, but you could get kind of close. I mean, imagine winning your conference means something other than just winning your conference. Suddenly, you know, the Mountain West seems very, very interesting. You know, yeah, I want the Rams to win the conference. Don't you ever feel like, I'm talking to Rams fans here today, because UNC is, of course, in the FCS, and CU is in the Pac-12. They have a legitimate shot. You know, they might not have the personnel, but they're in a Power 5 conference. They have a shot. But didn't you just feel with the Mountain West, you're just playing for this second-best trophy? Like, you're in your own little league. You're playing for a trophy that's not the grand all be all. And even if you win that great trophy, you're still not considered a legitimate top 10 team, really. I mean, you have to. Boise State's number 21 in the country right now. But they have to bust hump. They have to win big and win out to stay in the top 15. They have to do things that teams like Alabama and Clemson don't have to. And I understand why. I'm not refuting that. Like Georgia's, they have a loss to their schedule, and they're still a top five team. But that's because they're playing different competition. I understand that. But I'm tired of it just feeling like this is the secondary championship. Oh, you won the conference. Now you got to go play in the Idaho Potato Bowl. Good luck. I think that at some point you got to start allowing opportunities to earn a seat at the table with the big dogs. It's the only league like this. Because even basketball, yeah, you have great conferences and great teams, but it's not that out of the question to think a team like UNC could win a few games in the tournament, could make it to March Madness, maybe upset some teams and actually win a few. It's not that outside of the thinking to say CSU could do that. You know, if they were at their best. I think they did win a first round. Was it? No, maybe not. Maybe not. They competed anyway. They played Louisville. And I remember they were like blown away that CSU was actually hanging in that game in the first half. So it's not like out of this world to see that. But in college, it's way different. You've basically got two leagues. You know, you've got the Power 5 and the less than Power 5. Even though they're in the exact same, it's their FBS, Division 1. They're in the same. They are on the same playing field. But it's just strange how they do this. So, yeah, I'd love to see it ultimately. You go, everybody that wins your conference is in, and I'm not an idiot. I know the SEC is going to have a hard time with it. Fine, you do five at-large bids. So you got 16 teams in the playoffs. 16 make it. And you got five at-large. Maybe the SEC, you know, you got your one already for championship. Maybe you got three or four that get in this case. So, like, let's just say Alabama beats Georgia in the championship. Okay, well, Georgia's going to get in. Now you got four more. Florida's going to get in. Texas A&M's going to get in. Auburn's going to get in. There you go. And if it's just the SEC, and then the argument becomes, you know, what about the Pac-12? What about Oregon? And that's going to be the fun discussion because you have your polls, right? That's a whole different setup there. The at-large bid poll every year. Be fun. Bear with me. It's complicated. We get through it. 32 minutes after the hour. Before we take a break, Colfax, I'll tell you about my friends over at SCL Mortgage. Find them at myspecialmortgage.com. SCL is family and veteran owned. And as you've heard, interest rates are at all-time lows. So now's the time to get rid of any consumer debt. You have car loans, credit cards, student loans. That interest is not tax deductible and your house payment is. SCL has been serving Colorado for 20 years with an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. SCL is here for you, whether it's your bank statement, loan, or self-employed people can even, the VA side of it, conventional or FHA loan. With no credit overlays, call them at 970-444-1222. 33 minutes after the hour, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA, the Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Just 37 minutes after the hour. It's The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Shout out to Auto Taylor. You know, we know everything revolves around technology and having a skilled technician or two or three paired with that technology. That means your vehicle's going to get figured out. No, not very often are you going to go into Auto Taylor and they're not going to know what's going on with your vehicle. Unless it's like a really crazy situation that they would even admit, whoa, I've never seen that. That's not happened. That just does not happen at Auto Taylor. I take my vehicle there, whether it's routine checkups, blow a tire, done that before, oil change, or something bad. Don't you hate that? Car troubles suck, Colfax. They really do. So when you take it to Auto Taylor for an oil change, you also say, hey, make sure that I don't run into any bad problems. Do you see anything on the horizon? They're kind of like the Nostradamus, Colfax. They can predict and look at your car and go, yeah, over time, this is probably going to give out on you. And so you should think about repairing that at some point. But they're not those sleazy mechanics either that are like those body repair shops that are like, hey, you need to get this fixed and this and this and this. Otherwise, your car's going to blow up in the interstate. No, it's not the case. That's Auto Taylor in Greeley. Tell them we sent you here from the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. UNC football, we're going to talk to Ed McCaffrey. It'll be off air today, and we will play that back for you tomorrow. We'll get that up as our big interview, and we'll put that up on our website, 213-10KFK.com, and or thewholeshow.com. Bottom line is, I'm not going to know a lot about this team. You know, they had 15 fall practices, and they had to do that in a 34-day window. They wrapped that up last week, and this is what's going to be interesting, and I'm curious to talk to Coach McCaffrey about this. I have a lot of questions for him just about his transition from high school to college, but in the craziest year of our lives. So that's going to be interesting. But he's basically, I mean, we got spring ball, and this is real spring ball. When I say spring ball in football, it usually means practices leading up to a scrimmage and then we break. This is real. We're starting in February. He's going to be asking his players, hey, you got to work out. Here's the plans. But I can't be with you. You know, this is what it is. It's on your own. Due to the limited practice time allowed by the NCAA, any additional work must be done on players' own time. So, I mean, coming up with winter break and the holidays, I mean, Thanksgiving's not that far away. This is when you ask your guys, hey, you want to be there come February. You want to actually compete. You only got six games. But if you want to not get embarrassed out there, yeah, we're going to ask you to, you're going to have to do this stuff on your own. Here's the plans. And Coach McCaffrey even said as much. He's like, it's going to be on them. It's going to be on those guys to be able to follow this. It's such a crazy time, you know, with UNC. We're really ready for a recharge with this football program. You know, I really loved Ernest Collins Jr. I thought he was a great guy, but he just didn't make sense anymore. I mean, he wasn't winning games, and every year there was kind of an excuse, and you thought Jacob Knipp was going to be healthy. And I was rooting for that story. It just didn't work out. Jacob Knipp's an amazing dude. He's pretty talented. You know, injuries really messed with him, I think. You know, he had, three major injuries and knocked him out. So, you know, I really was hoping that last year would be that year, but it just didn't work. So the Bears finally turned that page. I didn't know if they'd ever do it. I used to say this, Colfax. I used to say, maybe the Bears are just okay with having a nice guy that can make sure the good men, you know, good student-athletes, getting great grades at school, and they're good people, some of them going on to work in our communities. And maybe the Bears are just okay with that. Maybe that's the kind of program they are. They're not taking wins. They're not really taking wins as a part of the job. It doesn't really matter. I used to kind of feel that way. This McCaffrey move, we've talked about it at great length. It's the best marketing move you could have ever made. I don't know how it's all going to work out, especially now. I mean, you talk about Carl Durrell and Steve Adazio being behind the eight ball, and if you're a new coach to a new system, how about Ed McCaffrey? You know, he was coaching high school football last year and at Valor Christian, and it was only two seasons there. So that transition's going to be difficult. And I think that's another one where we're just chomping at the bit. Bears fans want to see. And I don't know, are we going to allow home fans? It's way too soon to project right now, but that's February. It's 4 months away. So we still have plenty of time to see what happens in the world of COVID and vaccines and all of that. But I would imagine they're going to allow some fans in there. I'd be shocked. But then again, I could easily see them say, we're just not going to have any this year. But three home games. Will you be going if you have that opportunity? First Advantage text line 31996, 31996. Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. Do you like my idea? Now, again, it's not, you know, it's not bulletproof yet. There's things we got to iron out here. But I think that college football should be working towards a playoff system where everyone representing a conference gets in. Should college football allow more playoff teams, one from every conference? Here's the options you get. More playoff teams, but not from every conference. Or yes, just do it, or no. 20% of the Hooligans say no. I don't want any more playoff teams. I don't want any of that. I just want four. I want Alabama, and I want Clemson. I want Ohio State, and I want OU. That's it. Those are my four every year. Maybe change it a few years. That's so boring. You know, I like great teams, but who's to separate those top 10 teams? There's teams in the that finished eighth that might be able to beat a Bama, might be able to beat a Clemson. So those of you that are saying no, like you wouldn't even expand it a little bit, you're out of your mind. The leading candidate here, the leading vote today is 46% going to yes. I think they should allow more football teams, one from every conference. Hey, there we go. You guys seem to like that idea. Got a couple of texts here. Each conference champion, this one from Ram Nation, each conference champion plus two at-large. Yeah, I mean, I like the five because I think you're going to get the SEC freak out. Another texter here. I'd like to see the top 16 teams or so battle it out like basketball. Top six. See, you know what? I don't hate that idea. Top 16. You just go with the rankings and your AP poll and top 16 go. Like, I don't hate that idea. But in the perfect world, I think you're spreading it out and you're allowing conferences. But that's kind of fun, too. I mean, you're busting your tail to get into that top 16. This guy texts us here. I don't know. I mean, NCAA football is going to move to NFL light eventually. What's wrong with that? Like, the NFL is the king. They know what they're doing. They're good. They're the most watched sport. I think that we got to do that thing. We need to... 96... that's your name. 96 Buff on this? Okay. Texting in, no thank you. Yeah, that's some of you don't like to see... You don't want to see a mini NFL. Well, that's what the SEC is. It's an NFL producer. Why not? Open it up. It doesn't take anything away from your... If you're a Rams fan, it doesn't take anything away from CSU and their conference and what you're hoping to do there. It doesn't take anything away from that. You still got that. You still have the Mountain West Conference. And you still got to go try to win that every year. And if you win it, you get rewarded with one round of a playoff. If you lose, you lose. But you made it to the playoffs. You put that up as a banner. Don't put a... Bowls? I don't care about bowls. You got to win six games to go to a bowl. This year, Colfax, I think you get to get into a bowl game.
I'll be there.
Yeah. Like, you're in. Everybody gets a bowl game. It's like Oprah. We're throwing bowl games all over the place.
As long as it's the Tostitos Bowl.
That's what it'll be.
Get some free chips involved.
You absolutely will get free chips.
Maybe cheese
dip.
Cheese, yeah.
Yeah. You can't have those without cheese dip. But that's the thing. Like, everybody's getting into a bowl game. Even before COVID weird year, they were adding like four more. They just keep adding bowls because it's money. People will get more excited if it's a playoff game. And even if it's a blowout, it's still a playoff game. The second round, oh man, now we're starting to get somewhere. You know, the Buffalo Wild Wings second round of the college football playoffs featuring Boise State and Oregon. Okay, now second round's kind of getting interesting. Now you guys are starting to feel it. Like, this could be a fun thing. First Advantage text line 31996. Dixon, I think your idea is okay and needs a little work. And I had a chicken salad sandwich last night and it was delicious. That's your sandwich of choice? yeah, it needs some work. I don't know the at-large, how we're going to do that. Do we give byes? I don't know. Do we give a bye to the top two teams or something like that? How do we make... Do we just give, you know, of the Power 5 conferences, do they each get a... Do each get an at-large? Is that, you know, we just go with that. That'll be the five. Each of them get an at-large or something along those lines. We could do that. And but again, the SEC runs college football, so if you're only going to get two in the champion and then your at-large bid, or do you have to earn at-larges? You go with winning percentage, kind of like you do, like you see in college basketball. Not just winning percentage, but, you know, strength of schedule and opponent, all that stuff. 47 minutes after the hour, Colfax will take a quick break. Go vote on that one. Go to thewholeshow.com. I'm curious to see if that's where it's going to end. It looks like 46% of the hooligans are saying, yes, I like it. You're welcome, America. 48 minutes after the hour. It's The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy.
Catch Inside the Bears Den, presented by Chris Musa Agency Allstate Insurance, Tuesday nights. Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA. Hear Mornings with Gail, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Two minutes after the hour, Mosier Funeral and Cremation Service. There are a couple of mottos with them. Service is as unique as life. And, of course, live well, plan ahead. Give Scott Robin or a member of their wonderful staff a call today. Talk to them about pre-planning. It's an amazing gift. Mosier works with FEMA in many of our nation's disasters, like 9/11 in New York City, Hurricane Katrina, and the Joplin tornado. Check out their website, Mosier, M-O-S-E-R, MosierFuneralService.com. Their number, 970-330-6824. First Advantage text line, 31996. 31996. Yeah, the Broncos didn't practice today so far. I don't know what that means. You know, if that's a concern just yet. It feels like one or two cases, and we're still going to have games unless you're the Patriots. That's the situation. So as far as I know, The Broncos will be set to go against Atlanta coming up this weekend. And we start this second part of this test, right? Four games, starting back with the Chargers. And this is where I had the Broncos recovering. And I'll start breaking into more of that tomorrow. We'll have a CSU-Wyoming preview as well. We got the Border War right around the corner for Thursday Night Football. I really like it. I love having all these games on Thursday. I kind of like what Steve Adazio said, head coach for CSU, said, hey, gives you a chance to watch other games too. So I think this is gonna be great. 7 o'clock tomorrow. I'll be sure to talk about it on Friday. My journey at Canvas Stadium with nobody there. I'll be sure to take plenty of pictures. I'm gonna try to get there early, Colfax, because I don't know how many modes of security am I gonna have to go through, or you know, temperature checks and all that. It's gonna be a unique experience that I can hopefully share with you. If you haven't been to there's only a select group that's going to Broncos games. What, like 5,000 or something? So not a lot of people in the state of Colorado have been to, at least in this state, have been to a college/professional sporting event. Nobody's been to a college sporting event really since March, right? You know, this is like not like a football or basketball college event. So I'm excited to check that out. It's going to be fun. But we'll have a busy, busy Thursday for you. We believe Thursday night we'll have a Thursday night special ready to rock and roll. That, as far as I know, that game is still a go. But you know, every week is just it's a guessing game as to when these games are going to happen, if they're going to happen. But here the Broncos are again with some COVID situation going on. A guy on the practice squad had it, so they just said, you know what, let's not practice today. Let's go through the test. Let's figure this out. Let's see where we are, and we'll keep you updated as soon as we know something, and see if they're back in practice on a Thursday. First Advantage text line 31996. 31996. Be sure to get back at us. Dixon did have an issue with my playoff, saying, hey, you have a full regular season, then a playoff that takes a couple of months. That's a long season. That's what I'm saying. Remove about two games. Remove two or three games. We can get through that way. You don't need as many non-conference games. You don't need the cupcake games. You can get rid of those. We can work through this. We'll work through this plan, Colfax. It's my plan to make college football amazing. Even better than what we've come to know. That's going to do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.